Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another one of our Survivor exit interviews after episode number 11 of Survivor Game Changers. Today, we're going to be talking with Zeke Smith on his second ever RHAP exit interview after he was voted out last night, and a lot of questions that we have for Zeke. Steven and I got into everything on the know-it-alls last night. Really a very interesting point in the game because this thing is really so fluid. Nobody's really out of it and nobody's really dominating the way that this season has shaken out heading into the final nine. So a lot of interesting things to discuss there with Steven. So if you missed that know-it-alls, definitely check that out. And then today, I'm going to have the great winner of Survivor Karamoan, John Cochran, will be joining us. He played with Andrea. I'm sure he has some takes on what she was doing at this point in the game. So perfect time to talk to Cochran. He'll be here in a little bit. And then I'll get into your voicemails with Akiva Winokur, who is my co-host on the Seinfeld post-show recap. That podcast is going to be recorded later in the day on Thursday, so do not hesitate getting those voicemails in. Rob has a website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. All right, it looks like that we have Zeke on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Zeke, are you there?
Rob, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing very good. The important question is, how are you?
I'm great. You know, I've been on this wild roller coaster, which is Survivor, since October of 2015. And it's, I guess, the player part of it is over. We still got, you know, jury member and finale and all that stuff. But I'm a little amazed that that we're at the end.
Yeah. Who's had a wilder ride than you?
I don't know that anyone has quite had the ride that I've had.
No.
Okay,
so a lot of crazy stuff, and really, Steven and I were really trying to scratch our heads and figure out what the hell is going on with everybody in this game. Let's go into last night's Tribal Council. It looked like you had a lot of things going on, and you were talking with both sides. Ultimately, you're casting your vote for Sierra at that Tribal Council, and did you have a lot of confidence that that was the plan that was going to go through, or did you feel like that it wasn't looking good?
I actually felt pretty good about it. And I think that's, for me, at that point in the game, there was one person I could trust. There was one person my game rode upon, and that was Sarah Lucina. And I either knew she was telling me the truth or I was getting voted out. But where I was mentally, you know, I was running on fumes, and I couldn't stress out too much about it. And I thought we were good. The six that I thought I was voting with had sort of a pact to the loved ones visit, and we felt pretty confident that that was going to be the next day. And, you know, Sierra Don Thomas sort of was, I think, a little bit ready to go home. And I thought we were going to have like a non-chaotic vote, but, you know, Andrea made the right move. I was building a coalition to come against her the next vote, and she was very smart to get me that one.
Okay, so I think I misunderstood from the show last night that I thought you were going for Andrea on that vote, and then her winning immunity changed the plan. So your idea was to vote off Sierra all along for that vote?
Yes.
Ultimately, we see Sarah. She is your closest confidant in the game. And then she gets approached by Andrea and Sari to then turn against you. How much of a betrayal was that for you to have Sarah turn against you after you let her wear your jacket all this time?
All right. Yes, Lucy, my jacket. Yes. So, look, Sarah and I were tremendously close out there. And we had a ride or die final two deal. And after the Aussie vote, where I was left out of everything, you know, people voted for me and people voted for Aussie and I voted for Aubrey. I knew that my time in the game was very short. And I just said to Sarah, you know, don't lose this game trying to save me. Like, don't, I know you want to play with me and I want to play with you, but you're going to have to vote me out at some point. And do that and don't feel bad about it. So I don't feel betrayed at all by Sarah.
Okay, so let's go back to that point in the game when things started to get really crazy and then Ozzy got voted out. we all on the outside assumed that you and Andrea were very close, and what an advantage it was going to be for you to be able to work with Andrea in this season. But ultimately, where you were very tightly aligned with everybody, Nuku, you were the one to say, I don't trust Andrea. I don't feel like I'm in Andrea's plans. I need to make a move against Andrea. And then you started talking to the other side about Andrea, which ultimately got back to her. I think that something that I never understood was, why did you feel like you needed to target Andrea when you had a straight shot at the people on the other side?
Well, two things. First, it starts, you know, after the Varner incident, there was sort of this cosmic shift in my relationships with everyone. Immediately my name started getting thrown around. And the reason why was that I had this compelling story and people were concerned to sit next to me at the end. And that wasn't a secret. You know, people would say that to me. And also, how you know your position in the game is the ratio of the number of conversations people are coming to you to have versus the number of conversations you're going to others to have. And people stopped coming to me to have strategic conversations. And that included Andrea. And I felt that that really marked a chasm in our relationship, precisely because, you know, we'd known each other for 3 years. And I think that really signaled to me that I was nowhere near her long-term plan. The decision to go after Andrea was not made in a vacuum. It was made alongside my closest ally, Sarah Lucina. And we both felt that Sari and Andrea were running off into the woods to make decisions and then reporting orders back, and that we didn't feel good with them, but that we did have good relationships with people like Ty and Debbie. Now, so I made that decision collectively with Sarah and Debbie to go after Andrea. It kind of gets pinned on me because I go and have that conversation with Sierra Dawn Thomas, which I'd been told to have. Like Debbie said that she'd laid the groundwork for me to have that conversation, but clearly I start talking to her and she looks at me like I'm an insane person. And then I just know it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
But like I didn't flip on Andrea. Sarah and I made the decision to vote with the other people. I just happened to get left at that boat and sort of got caught with my pants.
Did you feel like that there was any room to sort of hash things out with Andrea, or you just feel like that the horse was out of the barn at that point?
Well, I tried. I don't take game moves too personally. I often vote with people I have voted against or who have voted against me in the vote after that happened. The vitriol was pretty one-sided on the Andrea stuff. And, you know, she yelled at me that night and she yelled at me all the next day. And I just sort of politely like took it. And then was able to, I think, apologize profusely enough for us to at least put one vote back together. It's not that I was ever unwilling to vote with Andrea. She just, it was on her end that I saw it was not reparable.
Were you surprised that she took so much offense to you talking to Brad Culpepper at the reward challenge or at the reward?
Yeah, especially because we weren't like Brad and I weren't like broing down. We're just like having a polite conversation. But I think it's sort of like emblematic of the tone of 34, that it wasn't as friendly and congenial as 33. And that even I think just sort of like being polite to someone over a meal could be misconstrued. I mean, I don't think it was misconstrued because I was trying to make a move with Brad, but I don't think what they witnessed in and of itself was that like damning.
Mm-hmm. All right. So going back to 33 a little bit, we had Michaela, who was one of the other people that was on that millennial tribe with you. I feel like that we saw almost nothing of your relationship really in either season. But then last night, she seemed devastated that you were going to be going home and she was one of the votes that sent you out of the game. Was that a really underreported story about how close you and Michaela were?
You know, I think that Michaela and I shared this bond of playing back-to-back seasons together. We were never particularly close in 33. But by the time we got together in 34, Michaela was pretty socially, you know, ostracized and didn't have a lot of friends. And I and Sari, you know, made a point to be kind to her and try to include her. And I think we'd been gone from our lives for a really long time. We got on a plane on March 28th to go play Survivor once and then made the insane decision to go do it again. And had been in Fiji for 4 months and neither of us really knew what our lives looked like back at home, but we just knew that they were going to be tremendously different. And I think we took a lot of comfort in sharing those fears together out there. And, you know, Michaela voted for me 3 of the 4 votes at the merge. And each time I told her, I was like, look, I want to vote with me. I want you to vote with me. Here's where I'm voting. But I also understand my name's getting written down. If that's better for you, then that's fine. Don't worry about it. But, you know, I was even a little surprised to see her cry when I got voted out. I was not expecting that.
How much of a layoff did you have in between the two seasons?
I had 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. I always thought that you had a longer period of time, because you're talking about how that you were mentally fatigued. You seem to be telling a couple of people like, hey, if it's going to screw up your game, then, you know, don't do anything that's going to ultimately affect you in a negative way to try to save me. Was that also a byproduct of just being so wiped out from too much Survivor in a short amount of time?
Well, I think it comes from knowing that I was a dead man walking after the Varner incident. Mm-hmm. I knew I had no shot to win. I was just trying to take a couple of swings while I was still in the game to prove, I think mostly to myself, that I never gave up, that I kept swinging my sword even when the cause was lost. But yeah, you know, I got asked back 20 minutes after my torch was snuffed. So my brain, even for the days that I had off between seasons, my brain never stopped thinking like a Survivor player. And, you know, when you're under that much stress and paranoia with those few calories, it really takes a toll on the, you know, the calculations and the mental gymnastics that you can perform. And, you know, I think I expended quite a bit of gas at the Varner Tribal, and then trying to, you know, compartmentalize it and put it aside. And, you know, after it happened, we really never spoke about it again, but that didn't mean that it wasn't constantly on my mind. I just had to try to wrangle that. And then I also had this uphill battle in the game. And, you know, part of my mind was also thinking back to my life back at home, which was just going to be so different from the life that I left. So I don't know that I got voted out on day 29, and I don't know that I had 10 more days in me. I was just trying to play it each day at a time.
Just going back to the fallout from that Varner incident, and again, you handled everything with so much poise and class, and, you know, it's been talked about so much everywhere, but I feel like that was part of the thing that we haven't really heard you get to talk about, was that in the game, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, now Zeke has the best story, but how angry were you that it wasn't just your, you know, privacy that was aired out on a national television show, but also at that point, I think you probably were feeling pretty good about your chances in the game. And then it was almost like your game had gotten blown up at that tribal council as well.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty accurate assessment. I felt I had pretty strong relationships before then. You know, I had a good relationship with Ty and Debbie, and with Sarah, Ozzy, Andrea, and Suri. And I thought I'd set myself up pretty well going into the merge. And then after that, it was kind of over. And I think if I hadn't been on the tail end of a second season, maybe I could have put things together in a better way, or I could have chilled out a little bit. I wouldn't have fallen into the panic of needing to make a move. But, you know, with everything that was on my shoulders, I just played the best I could.
When you talk about needing to make a move, was that more because you felt the need, I need to change the narrative from what's going on? Or were you just in such a panic in that, okay, I just need to find any two people that will ultimately sit there at the end of the game with me?
Eventually, by the time Brad, Troy, and I are making final three deals, I felt like there was like a light at the end of the tunnel. But in the immediate aftermath, I just felt like it could be me. Like, you know, my name was getting thrown around the next day, and I was just like, dude, it's over. And you know, I love Survivor, and I love to play, and I felt like I hadn't had much of a chance to play in 34, and I wanted to play before I got voted out. I mean, it was a very sort of selfish thing that I wanted, you know, one last shot to make a move.
So then tying things back to the two seasons that you played in back-to-back, Zeke, going back to last season, I feel like coming out of your game at that point, you felt like that going after Chris at that point was a mistake. You felt like it was too early. And please correct me if I'm putting any words in your mouth. Did you look at this situation that you were in at this point in this game as the same thing or different than the situation where you got Chris out of the game?
Well, I think that going into 34, I did recognize that my downfall began when I started throwing big punches too early. And I actually, I said, don't change a lot of things you did last time. You did a lot of things right. When you feel the itch to make a move, don't scratch it. Mm-hmm. Wait a vote. But when I felt like my time was cut so short, you know, that my time was cut so short, I wanted the chance, you know, I just wanted to play. And knowing that the $1 million was probably not in the card. So it didn't matter if I got voted out 10th or 7th or 8th. I was going to lose, and it was about how I was going to feel about how I conducted myself on those days after it happened.
Zeke, was there a lot of speculation as to where the hidden immunity idols were at the point that you went out?
No. We didn't talk much about who had idols. I think people had even stopped looking for the idols. You know, I didn't store a lot of long-term memories from 34. So stuff like that, I'm like, oh gosh, I have no idea what we were thinking about hidden immunity.
What about Sarah's advantage? I know you guys were tight. Did she mention to you that she had an advantage like she did with Suri?
No, I had no idea.
And then Sierra Dawn Thomas seems to be squeezed out of the alliance that you were making at the final five. Obviously, you guys were planning to vote her out. But why was Sierra the target out of those people?
Well, I think part of it for me is that Brad and Troyzan we were going to target one of those four. Brad and Troyzan were people that I had working relationships with. And it was between Ty and Sierra Dawn Thomas because I couldn't trust either of them. Neither of them was willing to work with me in the least. And I think we put the votes on Sierra because we felt like Ty had an idol, probably. Mm-hmm. I guess that answers your earlier question.
Yeah. What was the point in the game that you felt like you had the best shot to win? Did you feel like that you had one point that you feel like that you could start to maybe envision yourself as the winner?
Tavua, my second swap tribe, or the first swap tribe, the green tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I felt pretty good about my game prospects back then. You know, I felt like there was a glimmer of hope. I felt like I could trust Brad and Troyzan. And that if Sarah and Michaela could stick by me, I felt that there was just a tiny, tiny glimmer of hope. But no, I never felt like I had this one in the bag.
Well, Zeke, again, what an amazing job you've done here back to back. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I just really want to compliment you again, because I think that you were able to take a really terrible situation. And I think in a lot of ways you made it look like it wasn't that difficult of a thing to go through. And I think that that's probably been an underreported story, because you've made it look like something that was almost easy for you to handle. So again, I'm sure it wasn't, and I just really want to say job well done with everything.
Oh, thanks, Rob. That means a lot.
Okay, and Zeke, looking forward to catching up some more down the road, okay?
Yes. If people are interested, the long form podcast is certainly in the cards.
Okay, can't wait. All right, take care, buddy. Bye.
All right, talk to you soon, Rob. Bye.
All right, there you have it. Zeke Smith back here on his back-to-back exit interviews from season 33 and season 34. And just like he did Millennials versus Gen X, great job. Very thorough on the exit interview. So good stuff from Zeke. All right, everybody, let's switch gears and bring in a man who quite literally is reinventing the way that this game is played on a week-to-week basis. The man who knows what has happened on every single week in Survivor history, the great Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, what's up?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, and I'm very happy that that I now know Adis Puskauskas is a big listener of This Week in Survivor History, and I have listened to his his suggestions that I am giving you too many advantages.
Yes, well, he did hashtag I beat Rob as he came in last week. I got the sense, though, I think that might have been the first time he ever listened to it.
I don't know about that. I mean, he did say it was the first time that he beat you. He didn't say it was the first time that he listened. Unfortunately for Adis, I am not going to be talking about Survivor Panama this week.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's see how we do. I will take Aris on anytime in a Survivor trivia contest, as long as it's not one of the seasons that he played on.
All right. So no blood, water, and no Panama?
Yes. Okay. I think that's only fair if we do Survivor trivia. It's not a season, and we wouldn't take the Amazon or All Stars or anything like that.
Okay, but would we be allowed to use Vita seasons or no?
Yeah, sure. That if you want to take the one episode from Cambodia out of the mix, that's fine. I don't care. All right, so we're gonna get into This Week in Survivor History, the quiz. But first, let's thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Beachbody On Demand. Jordan, I love the Beachbody On Demand. I've been so happy with the work I've been doing every morning. Beachbody On Demand. I came into 2017 and I said I wanted to get back on my fitness regimen, and there wasn't an easy way for me to do it until I discovered Beachbody On Demand, where I can watch an assortment of different fitness videos for every single skill level, including my low skill level, where I can do it from the comfort of my own home. And I cannot put more and more obstacles in front of me to procrastinate my exercise any longer.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I can't say I'm really a beach person. Maybe I'm more of a shelter person,
a pool person.
I'm kind of in the Larry David school of thought, where the beach is a bit of a schlep. But I think maybe if I had the beach body, maybe I'd go more often.
Summer's around the corner, and I know this is like the first summer, I think, in a long time that I'm not dreading going outside, because I've been working hard these last 4 months. If you want to lose weight, you want to prepare for a specific event, we've got a great offer for you from Beachbody On Demand. You could try Beachbody On Demand for free for 1 month. Just text the word Rob to 303030. That's the word Rob to 303030, and you'll be able to try out Beachbody On Demand for 1 month for free. You don't need a lot of expensive equipment. You just need some barbells and some space, and I've got that out in the garage. You can access Beachbody On Demand on your computer, on your tablet, on your web-enabled TV, smartphone, any other internet device. You can get these workouts, take them on the road. Who knows? Maybe even in Toronto. I might even in the hotel room. We'll see.
Hopefully, because when last time I was in a hotel, there was a little bit of a periscope on me when having the Beachbody would have been a benefit.
That sounds like a story, Jordan. So check out Beachbody On Demand. It's a brand new service, but there's almost a million subscribers. So get that 30-day membership. Text Rob to 303030. Get a full 30 days of access to the entire platform for free. I've actually heard from a few of the listeners who've been trying it out and are very happy with what they've been doing. So shout out to everybody else doing Beachbody On Demand like I am. All right, Jordan. So let's get into This Week in Survivor History, the quiz.
All right. So This Week in Survivor History, we did see Andrea Belkey have a big week. She
Speaking of Vetus, you could also totally come to yoga with the 21-day yoga retreat with Vetus on Beachbody On Demand.
Oh yeah, and that video of yoga, Vetus going to yoga, spurred that amazing Spencer video that I helped co-write. So co-wrong. So
yes, come to yoga.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, we're going to get into quiz. This week. All right. We're talking the quiz. We're going into This Week in Survivor History. Big night for Andrea last night on Survivor. She spearheaded the blind side of Zeke. She won an immunity challenge. This has not historically been a great week for Andrea, though, because she actually got voted out in both of her Survivor games, in Redemption Island and Karamoan. So she was one of the few survivors that I have not spoken about on Game Changers This Week in Survivor History this season. So I decided to go full Belkey, and the whole quiz is going to be about Redemption Island and Karamoan.
Full Belkey?
Full Belkey.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the leftovers. Okay. All right. So let's get into the Andrea week in This Week in Survivor History.
All right, so we're going to go to Survivor Redemption Island first. This episode is May 4th, 2011, 6 years ago today. Question number one, would you like to use your point doubler?
No.
And just by the way, this week, only six questions. You still need the full 5 points. So, like I said, Aris thought I was giving you a little bit too easy of a quiz.
I said we're going to change the rules in the middle of the season because of what Aris says?
No, actually, I changed the rules in the middle of the season because I couldn't come up with the 7th question. That's the real reason.
Okay.
But that's what I'm going with.
So, I respect that more than just like changing the rules willy-nilly because Aris is like, oh, no, change the rules.
Yeah, but it does serve both purposes.
Okay.
So question number one, you're not using the point doubler. Which one of these reasons is not brought up by members of Andrea's Ometepe Alliance as to why she needed to be the one voted out when it came down to the final six? A, her relationship with Matt Elrod is a concern if they were to both be in the game. B, she's a very strong physical competitor, making her a threat to an immunity. C, Rob and Grant believe she has the social skills to sway Natalie and Ashley to her side. D, she knows the game better than most individuals in the Alliance, making her a strategic threat.
Could you reset those choices one more time?
Yes. Remember, is which one is not brought up by the other people in the Ometepe Six? A, her relationship with Matt Elrod is a concern if they were to both be in the game. B, she's a very strong physical competitor, making her a threat to an immunity. C, Rob and Grant believe she has the social skills to sway Natalie and Ashley to her side. D, she knows the game better than most individuals in the Alliance, making her a strategic threat.
Well, I don't see a way that both her and Matt Elrod could be in the game at the same time. That Matt Elrod, a.k.a. Wyatt Nash, is at Redemption Island. So I'm going to go with A. I don't see how they would think that they would both be in the game at the same time.
A is incorrect. If they left her in the game and Matt Elrod were to re-enter the game, then they would have both been in the game at the same time.
Yeah, a little poorly worded a little bit.
Not poorly worded. You just misunderstood. The correct answer was C. Robin Grant believes she has the social skills to sway Natalie and Ashley to her side. They weren't so worried about that. So that would have been the correct answer. But they did both. Rob did say that she was a strong physical competitor and that she knows the game better than, except for probably him, the people in the Alliance.
Okay. All right. Off to a bad start.
And you need to get every question right, or you need to get 4 of these questions right with the point doubler as one of them. So question number 2, which one of these things did Philip not do to annoy his tribe in this episode, almost taking the target off Andrea and putting it on himself? A, complain that the women on the tribe were eating too much rice. B, rip palm fronds off the roof of the shelter. C, complain about their mangled fishing nets. D, scold Andrea about how to deal with a bee buzzing around the shelter.
Which thing did he not do?
Which did he not do? 3 of these things he did do.
Okay. Could I use the 50-50 on this one?
Yes. So I'm going to take away rip palm fronds off the roof of the shelter. He did do that, and scold Andrea about how to deal with a bee buzzing around the shelter. He did do that. So the two choices you have left, one of these he did, one of these he did not do. You're looking for the one he did not do. A, did he complain that the women on the tribe were eating too much rice? Or C, complain about their mangled fishing nets?
Boy, this is something that I feel like he did both of these things. I feel like this is going to be like one of these tricky things where you're going to say, oh, he did complain about the nets, but that wasn't in this episode. So I distinctly remember him saying that the nets were mangled. I'll go with eating the rice because maybe he didn't complain about them doing that in this episode.
You're correct, Rob. You are 1 for 2. I think his main complaint about the rice was that Boston Rob got to eat all the good crispy rice, but that was pre-merge. Yes, the episode title is actually named after the mangled fishing nets. And you're correct. And he did all these other things. And also the thing with the bee, I actually didn't remember this, but Andrea's in the shelter and he's kind of getting pissed off of how Andrea's trying to swap the bee away. And I think it was the biggest bee related reality fight until Beekeeper Jake on Utopia.
Right. Where are the bees, Andrea?
Yeah. All right. So, we're getting out of Redemption Island. Only 2 questions from Redemption Island. The rest of the questions in this quiz are going to be from Kara Moen.
In honor of Cochran coming on.
Yeah, exactly. May 1st, 2013, 4 years ago, this past Monday. Question number 3. This episode included 2 tribal councils, with Rendell being voted out at the first one. Andrea won the immunity challenge before this first tribal, and in addition, won a clue to the hidden immunity idol. Who ends up finding this idol? Was it A, Andrea, B, Brenda, C, Cochran, D, Eric?
D, Eric Reichenbach.
You are correct. That was the trick question. Eric does find the idol and hands it right to Andrea. I thought for sure you were going to say Andrea. But yeah, she gets the clue. Eric finds the idol with her right there. And for some reason, he just hands it to her, which Cochran is kind of pissed off about because he knows that down the road, she might be able to use it against him.
Okay, so you're on record that you're going out of your way to try to trick me with these questions.
Well, isn't that the point of a question? Isn't that the point of a trivia question?
No, I think the point of the question is to test my knowledge. I don't think that the point is to try to write a tricky question.
Well, look, I tested your knowledge, and in this question, this particular question, you had the correct knowledge, and Eric was the one to find the idol. You didn't get tripped up. Good question. I think a lot of people are gonna get that one wrong. Yes, question number four. While Andrea ultimately targets Brenda for the second vote of this episode, who else does she tell Cochran should be a candidate for them to blindside? Was it A, Eric, B, Dawn, C, Sherry, D, Eddie?
Okay. Can you repeat those choices one more time?
Yes. And so she's talking to Cochran at the beginning of the episode, and she brings up Brenda's name as a potential person to vote out, and that ends up being her target at this tribal council. But who's the other person that that she tells Cochran should be a candidate for them to potentially blindside? Was it A, Eric, B, Dawn, C, Sherry, D, Eddie?
If I'm thinking about this correctly, I think that she mentions getting rid of Dawn, and that is why Cochran feels like, okay, we need to get rid of Andrea because he wants to keep her around. So I will go with B, Dawn.
B, Dawn, you are absolutely correct. And Rob, you had that right. Yes, Dawn is someone who Cochran's working with very closely. He says in the confessional that she is his closest ally in the game. And he kind of starts to see that if Andrea is looking to take out all these big threats, who Dawn ultimately doesn't get any jury votes. But at the time she appeared to be a threat. This is before the whole thing with Brenda and the teeth. He goes actually straight to Dawn and Brenda and said, look, Andrea just mentioned your name to vote you guys out, and this kind of sets the whole wheels in motion to blindside and Andrea.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, you have 3 points. You need 2 more points, which means you either need to get both of these next 2 questions right, or if you get one right and it's the point doubler, you win the week. So question number 5. Do you want to double the question?
No, I do not.
All right. While voting for Brenda, what does Andrea cite as the moment that made her realize that Brenda needed to go home? A, watching Brenda flirt with Eddie. B, watching Brenda make eye contact with the jury and seeing them smile back. C, competing against Brenda for 3 hours in the final 8 immunity challenge. Or D, overhearing Brenda make a final 3 deal with Dawn and Cochran.
I'm pretty sure that it was C. Hold on, don't say anything yet. I'm pretty sure it was C because they went head-to-head in that doghouse challenge for a long time. The eye contact thing seems plausible because it's the, two tribal councils in one episode, but I guess I will go with C. That's what my gut is telling me.
All right. You're going with your gut. Final answer?
Yes.
It's always good to go with your gut, Rob, and my gut is telling me that you are correct. You have 4 points. You need to get this last question right to win the game. Yeah, I made up the whole thing with Brenda making eye contact and the jury smiling back. It's something that we've seen in Survivor history, but not in this particular case. Yeah, Brenda, this is the previous immunity challenge, not the one right before this tribal council, but the one at the final 8 where they really wanted Reynolds to lose. He goes off. Andrea and Brenda are still in the challenge. And instead, Andrea, of course, wanted Brenda just to go off. And I think Brenda probably wanted the same from Andrea because they figure we're an alliance. It doesn't matter who wins, but they both go tip-top toes and they end up making their own rules in the challenge. They decide to stand on 1 foot. Probst doesn't make them do it, but he counts them off, and Brenda goes in the water. Andrea won that immunity.
Okay. All right. So only 1 question left. It all comes down to this.
Only 1 left. And again, 6 questions, not too much wiggle room in this quiz. You need to get this question right. Question number 6. Would you like to double the question? Again, it doesn't really matter if you double the question or not. You will have the 5 points, whether you double it or not double it.
Well, it's a win-win. So let's go ahead. Let's do it.
All right, question number 6. This week in Survivor history, Andrea was voted out at the Redemption Island Final 6 and the Karamoan Final 7. Between these two tribal councils, how many votes did she receive? A, 8, B, 9, C, 10, D, 11.
she was voted out at the final six. So did she get five votes that night? I mean, I would have to think so. I don't think anybody thought she had the idol. Rob had the idol. So I would guess that she got five that night. At the final seven, this is the trickier one. So I know she got a vote from Cochran and Dawn, and I think Sherry. Does she get the Brenda and Eric votes also? I know that Eddie is going to be voting with Andrea. So is it 8, 9, or 10? That's what this all comes down to. Were they all in on it? I'm trying to think. Eric told her that she had the idol, but I feel like that Eric did vote against her, but did Brenda? I'm going to go with that everybody was in on it, and I'll go with that she had 10 votes against her between the two.
So you're saying C, 10 votes, is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
All right, so you were correct that in Redemption Island, she did receive 5 votes. Her one vote for Philip was the lone Philip vote. So you were correct, 5 votes in Redemption Island. So yes, it did come down to Karamo, and this is the trickier one. You said that she received 10 votes, which means she would have had to receive 5 at this tribal council. In this Karamoan Tribal Council, she only received 3 votes. It was a 3-2-2 vote. She and Eddie did vote for Brenda. Cochran and Dawn actually voted for Eddie in case Andrea did play her idol. So the 3 votes came from Eric, Brenda, and Sherry. So she only received 3 votes. The correct answer was A8. So Rob, for the first time since week 1, you are not a winner on This Week in Survivor History, and you lose your chance of getting that second legacy advantage.
Yeah. I mean, really hard question.
Yes, not an easy question, but yes, I do believe it was a fair question because that vote split in
I want to know from
I
the listeners. Forget I beat Rob, I tied Rob. How many people got that question right?
We'll see. You know, it's again, not an easy question, but it is a fair question because it was a very good move by Cochran. I think one of his better moves in the game. To see that it, you know, just in case Andrea did play the idol, he still had the vote in the bag because Eddie would have gone home and it wouldn't have been such a big deal for his game.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't win, but we all had fun.
We did.
Not as much fun as when I win, though.
I mean, I had fun.
Yeah. Okay. No, you only have fun when you get me with a trick question.
Well, I do like getting you with the trick questions, but okay. I like when you get today the one question that I would consider a trick question you got right. Okay. This was more of a tough one, but not a trick question.
All right. Well, we will need to figure out what we're doing for next week with our Toronto show. So stay tuned for that. It's a possibility. We might have to skip a week next week for This Week in Survivor History, but we will be back again for the following week for sure.
Awesome. I am looking forward to that. And again, you still haven't used your legacy advantage just because you lost this week. You still have that one in the bag.
It's coming.
So you can use that in any week you would like.
Okay. All right. Well, follow Jordan Kalish on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, thank you again for your hard work.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. This week in Survivor History, a sad day here on RHAP, but things will be getting better. I will very quickly be shifting gears and welcoming John Cochran here for the first time in this studio to talk about everything going on. Really looking forward to that podcast. And then I will get into your voicemails later on Thursday. Go to robhaswebsite.com/voicemail to get those calls in. And then I will be getting back into The Amazing Race come Friday with Jessica Leese. Again, that will be on our Rehap Ups channel. robhaswebsite.com/rehapups to subscribe to that feed. Of course, thanks again to everybody who's been using our links for Amazon.com without me having to remind you guys too much. robhaswebsite.com/Amazon. Greatly appreciate all of that. And then that's going to do it for me here today. Looking forward to reading what you have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.